Praise the Lord. Let's all say it, if you will. Bow our heads before Him in prayer this night. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are blessed. Lord, it's such a privilege, Lord, to be able to gather. Lord, two or three are gathered in Your precious holy name. Lord, You will be here. Lord, we just love and appreciate You for everything You are to us, everything You've done. Lord, we just feel You so deep in our heart. Lord, we just love You and appreciate You so very much. Lord, I just pray You'll accept these few worship songs we have tonight. Lord, let us sing from the bottom of our hearts, Lord. Lord, we have passions for many things, Lord, and we do it with all our hearts. Lord, this above all ought to be one of them. Lord, just bless this service tonight. Let Your will be done. Everything that's said and done, we'll give You all the glory and honor. It's due unto You in Your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Got a new little course I'd like to try. It's just a course. It's called I Love You, Lord. Amen. It goes like this. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what You hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ear. Amen. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy. Appreciate You, Lord, for all You've done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing a song. Be a sweet, sweet sound in his ear. Amen. Sing with all your heart. He's done a lot for me. He's done a lot for you. I know. Amen. Sing with all your heart. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to sing that little song again. That little chorus. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad. I will be glad in the Lord. Yes, you happy in the Lord tonight? Yes, amen. Amen. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Oh, thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad. I will be glad in the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. 6:12, and I only believe. Amen. I just love these. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. As the deer panteth for the wound. You got 6:12? The deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. For you to worship you. For you are my strength, my shield. You alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I want to worship you. Sometimes it's just good to slow down. Amen. Just fill His Holy Spirit. I just love Him so much. I got so much to praise Him for. Amen. I got so much to thank Him for. He's been so good to me. Amen. I got so much to thank Him for. So much to praise. Page 697. Amen. This little chorus. Amen. You are my hiding place. Amen. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with song of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong. Yeah. will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You trust him. Amen. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong. The Lord's always by us. The Lord's always with us. Amen. Nothing to worry about. Amen. Just love him so much. Amen. Brother Kevin, would you like to take up, I'm sorry, Brother Settles, would you take up the offering light? Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, yes. We're truly appreciative once again to have an opportunity to come, Father, to gather around in this little temple. Lord, as we take up this offering, Father, pray that you would bless it, Lord, and just, Lord, let it meet the needs.
Amen.
Allow us to have a place to come and gather, Lord, yes. And spread your word, Father, for that's what it's for. Lord, I pray that you would just bless each new one that can give, those that can't. Lord, may you just give you glory in everything that's said and done. Yes. Remain in the service. Yes. In your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Amen. Anyone have a need by the upraised in their hand? Amen. Let's keep it before him. That's where you want to take your request.
Yeah. With our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, again, we're so appreciative to be able to bring our needs before you, knowing that you're more than able to take care of all of our needs, regardless what it is. Some it may be a physical need, it may be financial, spiritual, whatever it may be, but you already know what it is before we ask. And Lord, we present these before you now. Lord, these requests, and asking that you would grant every heart's desire. And Lord, I'm trusting that in each one of us, it's truly first above everything, that we meet the spiritual needs in our lives first, is what our desire be. But Father, everything that we do and say and think would be exactly the way you want it to be. Lord, how my heart sometimes is burdened so greatly for, Lord, desiring to see every one of us to be molded into your image. Yes. The Father, we would truly be a people conformed to the image of your Son. Oh, God, what a great, wonderful place in Christ. I trust that you'll stir our hearts with that, Lord. The Father, the desire will be so overwhelming and so powerful in our hearts that it will push aside everything and anything that would destruct that or distract it, Lord, to where it wouldn't happen in our lives. But Father, it would happen and take place in every channel of our being, that our very thinking would be yours. Oh, God, help us now. That's the greatest desire in our hearts. And Lord Jesus, we know that you always desire to be the great physician. So we ask that you would heal the bodies tonight. Any sicknesses, Lord, any diseases, anything, Lord Jesus, that would be standing in the way, we ask, oh God, place that faith within our hearts to stand on every promise you've given to us. And bless them, Lord. Father, we appreciate you now. We ask that you would just bless our hearts to receive the word tonight. May the brother be blessed, Lord, to bring it and make it easy for him. And may he feel the hearts being receptive to it. That, Lord Jesus, this is truly all we want in life. This is the most important thing to us, is to become like you. So bless us now. And each one of us, Lord, not only the minister, but Father, may we all commit ourselves unto you. That, Lord Jesus, for the receiving of it, give us revelation of the word of God. We ask that you grant these things now. May we never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it. And Father, testify of the things Amen. That you have done for us.
Yes.
Sometimes we fail so many times, yes. Lord, to tell of all the things you've done for us.
Amen.
Oh, shame should be in our hearts to be like that. But Father, may we be waiting with joy in our hearts to testify of the good things you do for us and have done. And praising you, Lord Jesus. We thank you now for all things. May you have your preeminence now as we commit it all unto you this night. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask thee, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, precious Lord.
Amen. Let's just remain standing. We ask our brother to come bring forth the word.
Yes, amen.
And we'll just sing that little chorus, Can't You See Why I'm Happy?
Yes.
Amen. Can't you see why I'm happy? I'm accepting the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet.
Aren't you happy?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, once more, we are truly grateful to have been able to enter in these doors and, Lord, to feel your presence and know that you're here. And Lord, we've just come humbly tonight, Lord, to ask you to have your way. And Lord, through the way of this little exhortation, Lord, that you would impart something to each of us, Lord, in a special way. Maybe, Lord, that something that'll maybe do us a little work in our lives, Lord, to cause us to climb or grow a little closer to you. For Lord, we come each time, and Lord, it's your word and it is inspired. And Lord, if we'll draw from you, Lord, not from me, but from you, Lord, we can each take something from what we have. And Lord, we ask it to your glory and to your honor. Lord, that you through it all, you would receive the praise, and we'll never fail to thank you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Oh, aren't you happy to be here? Amen. Thank the Lord for each opportunity we get to come. Amen. While you're still standing, let's turn our Bibles over to Deuteronomy, if you would. Way back there in the Old Testament, in the 7th chapter. Amen. Just a small exhortation for this evening. I'll try not to hold you very long, but just want to read some scriptures and talk about some things as we go through. Amen. Do we have, is the sound okay? Is it too echoey? Amen. Sure. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 7, let's start here at the 6th verse. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn upon your fathers, that the Lord hath brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. May the Lord bless and redeem his word, and you may be seated. Just thinking of how sovereign God is, and how in each and every age and each and every phase of time, God has always had someone that he chose to be in time and in place to fulfill every word that he had ever spoke. The great plan that he saw in his mind before there was ever a moon or a star, he saw it laid out, and his people were there to fulfill it. And speaking here of Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and seeing how precious they were to him, and the words that he was speaking of with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and how we can see God has always called and chosen his own people, placed them in time right where they needed to be, and it was God through that person that fulfilled that promise at that time. It wasn't the man, it wasn't the people, but it was God all along. Amen. Amen. If you would, let's go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter. Amen. First Peter in the 2nd chapter. Amen. But ye are, in the 9th verse, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people that are now, but now are a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, and have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And by God's mercy and grace, each one of us has got to find ourselves and realize that this scripture is talking to me. I am one of them by God's grace that I feel I am part of that chosen generation. Amen. And if you turn over to John, the 15th chapter, I just read a verse here. Very familiar. 15th chapter and the 16th verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Amen. And I want you to look at that. Everywhere he chose, he done it all. Amen. He chose it all. And I want you to think back in the Old Testament. I want you to look at how he chose Moses to bring his people out of Egypt. And I want you to think how Moses at first, he knew he was born for a purpose. He was told he was born for a purpose. He was educated to it. That he was to be that one. But it all come to naught when he tried to do it with the way man would have thought it should be done. And he had to go off into the desert. But when he got out into that desert there, God began to speak to him and deal with his heart and showed him and sent him back down there. But God had chosen him for it, and God placed in him everything he needed to make it come to pass right then and there at the time and the place. And it worked out to God's glory. And you can bring it right on down the line to Samson and see God in his life and in the calling that he had and chosen for the purpose and for which he was sent. And bring it on down to Joseph and see where God moved into his life and all the steps that took place. But at the end, and most of the time it was more towards the end of their life, the end of their journey, that their purpose was fulfilled. And here we stand today, many of us, been in this message for a long time. We've been hearing it for a long time. But God's purpose is coming to fulfillment. There is a people that's been chosen and placed here by God's hand. In this time and season, that's going to fulfill every word God has laid out before us. And the Holy Spirit is crying out, as you can see over the last several services, to remember why you're here. And as Brother Brandon put it here in the message, I'll read this real quick in the message, Victory Day. And this was preached April 21st, 1963. He says here, on paragraph 131, page 19, "And now here was Moses that went down with his own intellectual affair to intellectual achievement to try and under a military force bring out Israel and failed to do it. But just a word from God on the backside of the desert boiled the whole thing up again. And what happened to Moses? He got his glasses focused. And how the Holy Spirit is trying to focus our glasses to see. If you look at the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's trying to shave and to trim us back into shape. Making sure, as the prophet even talked about, how when he saw that little bride marching past, he was screaming out that one last time to get in line, to stay in step. And as we can see, we're not blind, and we can see that we're living in the fine moments of the ending of time. And we're not here by chance. God didn't just place us in this little building to fill time and space. As he goes on here, he says, "But he got his glasses focused. God's only purpose wasn't to marry this beautiful Ethiopian colored girl back there and to settle down and have children and raise his father-in-law's sheep. But his mission was to deliver the children of God out from under their bondage. That was his commission, and that's what he was born for. And each one of us is born for something. We just wasn't put here for nothing. That mountain never happened out there just to be. The tree was put there for a purpose. Everything is for a purpose. It's got to serve. We are here for a purpose. Maybe it's to testify to one person and get them saved out that might come. A preacher will send a million souls to Christ. Look at Dwight Moody's conversion. Many of those, you see, just a little old woman with a little old washerwoman with a message on her heart to do something for God. And she rented an old livery stable and got a minister to come down and preach. And nobody but a little boy with their hair hanging down his neck and his daddy suspenders on went down there and knelt down at that altar that night. Dwight Moody, that sent 500,000 souls to Jesus Christ. That woman had something to do. It was for a purpose. She was made a washerwoman for a purpose. Don't despise where God has got you, but serve your purpose. There's coming a great victory day, one of these days when this battle is over. And God has brought and placed each one of us where we're sitting tonight. We come in here and we, maybe as our brother mentioned this morning, maybe it seems like picking. Maybe it seems like the word's always coming right down my alley. But if it is, we ought to be so thankful to God. Amen. That he cares about me and cares about you. Because if the Holy Spirit within you wasn't saying, that's for me. There's something on the inside. God, no man can come to me unless the Father which sent me draw him. and how he placed that drawing in our hearts and drawn us into this little place where we said, and the word is coming, molding us, shaping us. Why? Because we've been chosen. I've been chosen. You've got to see that you've been chosen for a purpose. There's higher heights in my life, maybe higher heights in your life, but by God's grace, we're climbing there and we're going to get there. Why? Because it's of him and his calling. Amen. Herein, let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter, and read a very familiar scripture. Brother mentioned it in his prayer. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For moreover, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And you know, we might look back and say, oh, boy, I wished I could have had Samson's shoes. Wished I could have been Samson. I wished I could have been Joseph. I wished I could have been Moses. I'd like to live back there and been there. But yet we live in a greater time that many prophets long to see. We have a responsibility. God chose. He knew who he needed to be on the forefront at this time and space. He saw us in his mind before this world was ever formed and said, this is going to be one. It's going to be at that last day. Amen. It's going to stand for me and be a true Christian, a true believer. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. All through God did the predestinating. And you look back at the Old Testament when it was Moses to go down there, God give him everything he had to have to bring that people out. And look at David, little shepherd, sling down there, that big old giant. God was in there. There wasn't no way nobody else could have done that. God was in the mix. He was predestinated. He ordered that little stone. Oh my, he knew which one David was going to pick up before that stone ever got in that creek. And that's how great God is. He knows everything we have need of. He knows where we're standing tonight. He knows what word we lack. He knows what word we need. And he's predestinated us to be that people. He's going to bring it forth in due time. But we must be a people that's open and ready and willing, studying to see that we must finish this work. We have been set forth to do a job. We're not just here filling time and space and filling pews, but there's got to be something happening different in our lives. Not relax and get back as the children of Israel begin to slide back and want the things of Egypt and begin to reach back and try to get into gain. But our goal is focused. I've been sent here for one thing, to see Jesus Christ made manifest in my life. That's why I was chosen. That's why I was born. That's why we were placed here. And homes and jobs, any extra things we have is just something that we're borrowing as we pass through this life. And it's not the foremost. But if our true desire was truly focused, as our brother's been bringing, or the cares of this world choking us, if we could get our focus back up to the purpose for which we've been sent, how much more less trouble we would have in this life. Oh, how much more God would get done in his time. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see here. Let's turn over here to Ephesians, the first. Well, let's go ahead and read Romans 12 while we're here speaking on this. Amen. We'll just grab those first three verses of Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And how we must remember, a sacrifice ain't got no life of their own. They don't have no choice. They've been sacrificed. Amen. Every other right's given up. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And just that scripture alone, as our brother's been talking about the things of the cares of the world, be not conformed to this world. We're not to be like the American citizens and to see what we can, how close we can be like them and get all caught up in all this world has to offer. The politics and all that goes on around us. It can swallow us and engulf us as we get caught up in their pettiness as it goes on. We're not of this world. That's not for us to consider. But may we focus our lives truly to what God sent us for. Amen. Amen. And this will all finish up in due course. Yes. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to the man the measure of faith. And if we have any faith, it's the measure that God has dealt us. Not what we gained on our own, not what I understand or what I've gained through life, but what God has so graciously given me. And may we truly remember that without him we're nothing and can stand and do nothing. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn over here to Ephesians, the first chapter. Amen. Hallelujah. Here in Ephesians, and let's begin there at the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. Oh my. And listen, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, and has made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. How graciously God has made sure we've understood what his plan was, why he were here, what he's expecting from us. The Holy Spirit's here every time we come in those doors, pouring out his heart. Lord, here's what I want my bride to be. The word is telling us. The word is coming, shaping us to what God is looking for. Amen. God is looking to prepare that little bride. And yes, he uses men to do the speaking, but it's God that's shaping her and molding her, getting her ready. And oh, how we should be so thankful when we can see that word coming that's truly molding and changing us, making a difference in our lives and pulling us back the way we need to be. Amen. Yes, maybe it's not joyful. Maybe it's a little painful at times. But how thankful we ought to be to God for it. Amen. Amen. Here in Revelation, the third chapter. Amen. Revelation 3 and 19. Amen. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. For behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Yes. And you may wonder why. Oh, it just seems like I've got so many more tests and trials. Maybe it seems like my road is just so rugged and rocky and rough. But God knows the time he's coming back. He knows how much time he has to get us into shape, each and every one of us. He knows the test that we need to be able to see where we'll fall, so that that place becomes strengthened and that overcoming has taken place in our life. God knows each and every one of us exactly. He knows the intents and the thoughts of the heart. Yes, he knows our desires and what we truly long for. Yes, and he searcheth the reins. Amen. But oh my, as many as I love. Amen. So if I know that, if I can see that, it's all he's loving me good. Amen. Amen. And I know he's got a plan for me. My purpose here is not in vain. But he cares enough to make sure that there's a rock smacking me in the side of the head. There's something coming to make sure that every word's lining up and pressing into that coming, getting ready for the appearing of the Lord. Amen. Let's see here. This is in the message, the identified masterpiece of God. And this is on page 10. This was preached December 5th, 1964. Paragraph 58. To think that man was made in the image of his creator and was given a wall to stand behind, that word could never fail. That's the Christian hope. It's his shield. It's his armor. It is his rock today, is to stay behind the word, every believer. Now, you must never get from behind that. When you do, you're opening the door to the enemy. When they say, oh, well, you can do a little of this and a little of that. God wants you to separate yourself from everything that's called sin, completely set aside for Him and He only. He has a purpose in your life, each individual, that no one else on the face of the earth can take your place. God has something for you. You're made like that. You was did that way for a purpose. God is sovereign in His work. The things are different. We different one from another. We notice in animal life, we find out that the animal life, there's one animal. God made a beast of burden like the horse, and he has to work. And the cow is a sacrifice. But the lion and the tiger roams the forest without any labor or anything. He made a great big animal like an elephant and then made a little bitty fellow like a mouse. Who is there to tell God what to do and how to do it? He does it his own way. And he makes the mountains and he makes the deserts and he makes the seas, he makes the plains, and he makes one kind of tree, hardwood, palm, and so forth. He does it. And he makes men different, and he gives each one of us a different place. A palm tree can never be a hickory, and a hickory tree can never be a palm. Nobody can take your place, and you shouldn't never. Nobody can take your place, and you shouldn't try to take anybody else's place, because you're an individual to God, and God has a purpose for you. He made you thus. You say, why did he do it? He's sovereign. He's got a reason for it being that way. But we find out we're all guarded by the Word. And how we have this precious Word, and it's coming. We have it in its fullness. And God is just bringing it back over and over to us. But are we taking heed and really looking at it? Or do we just continue on just hearing it, not really realizing? Maybe I don't really have that pull in my heart showing me that I've been sent here for this purpose. This is the whole reason that I was placed upon this earth, was for this to be made manifest in my life. Amen. And you know, as he was talking about Moses, and we was mentioning, this is in the message of prisoner. And he says, Moses, let me go over here on page 23, 164. He says, he was talking about Paul and Moses. He said, both of them went to the desert and come back different men. Both of them saw a pillar of fire, and both of them were prophets, that right? Both of them prophets, when they both talked to by the pillar of fire. Both of them prophets, and they both was talked to by the pillar of fire, exactly right, coming for it for a deliverer. There they was. They went to the desert, left their homes, went to the desert to find out, left their people and everything to find the will of God, see? They were trained in one way, and we're so trained in the human way. The way we was raised, the way we were born, the way we do things, the way we think about things. But God's trying to strip all of that away and make us look back to His Word. As He says here, He says, they were trained in one way, but God changed them to another. They had become a complete prisoner, not to act in the way they wanted to act, but act in the way that God wanted them to act. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I real quickly got to another character before me. His name is Joseph. He was an elected son. He was a perfect type of Jesus Christ. He was born a prophet. He was a prophet. And we can, let's see, let me drop down. But what did God have to do? He done the same thing he did to the rest of them. Because Moses was a deliverer, Paul was a deliverer, and Joseph was a deliverer. He saved his people from famine, but what God did God have to do to him? He put him in prison. He put him right straight to prison. Yes, sir, remember? He was sold by his brethren in Egypt, and they sold him to Potiphar, and that was taken from him. And here he's sitting in the prison crying, and God had to strip it. But all the time I believe he was in that prison, he could remember that vision that said he was going to sit on a throne and his brothers was going to bow to him, because he knew his gift come from God. And he knew it had to come to pass. If we can only keep that in our mind, according to the Word of God, that in these last days, he's going to have a church. He's going to have a people, and these things that he's promised he's going to do to them, he said he would. And we're living in that time. We're there. We're just trying to get us to be real prisoners now, locked in with him. And how you can see the Word is pulling us into that prison of love, where everything we do is totally surrendered to the Word. None of our ideas, none of our ambitions, it doesn't matter. God's got a goal in mind. He chose a people to be here to finish his work, that he would finish that work through and live them through them. And that time has come. And by God's grace, I can see that I've been called to be a portion of that. You've got to see yourself in that. But this Word is talking to us. That's what it's doing. It's conforming us. But are we willing to lay aside everything and yield it all over to Jesus Christ and let him have that full preeminence in our life? Amen. Here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Hebrews 11. And this is, you know, Paul went through all of these, Noah and Abel, Moses, Joseph, mm-hmm. and Isaac. But let's just start down here at the paragraph 32 and read this as Paul. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of the bonds and imprisonments. And they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And already, how do we compare to them? How do we line up to what all they suffered for Christ? Their trial and their faith being a testimony. I wonder how our testimony today compares. Is our testimony worthy to be written in there? But just listen as he says, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are so compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. Amen. Oh, my saints, what a testimony that each one had right there. Yes. And we can look back and see all that was taking place. And may our lives be that if time would have went on and there would have been another book of Acts written, that we would be worthy. Our testimony, our faith would have proved out to be worthy to be written in there with them. And God is looking for a people that he said he would show that little bride off before the rapture took place. A people that he would have confidence in, just like he had in Job, to say, have you considered my servant Job? A people that would have that testimony, as our brother mentioned this morning, about Enoch, that he pleased God. And all here we all stand tonight, being chosen, hearing the call. Where do we line up as the word's been coming forth? Do we see ourselves fitting in to God's picture? Or does it really begin to paint a bleak picture of us? But all, may we truly, each one, be able to truly see that I've been chosen for this purpose. I can see that calling in my life. I can see those higher rungs that are lying ahead of me, and I can see the pressure that's building inside of me to reach those heights. Amen. Oh, may that truly be the desire of our hearts. We've been called. We've been set aside. Yes. And God so graciously has made us his own. Amen. Amen. And paved the way, done it all for us. All we ask is that you give me your body as a living sacrifice. May we truly give our all back to him. And make sure that we're not holding on to anything of this world and this world cosmos. Amen. But let God be the first love in our life. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. A small word of exhortation. Just pray some way. God's word will stir our hearts in some way. That we would continue to climb. Saints, as we look back, we can see where we've come from. We can see the things we've seen as going up and coming through church life, backbitings and envyings and strifes and all that goes with groups of people gathering under a roof and becoming a church. But God is looking for a people to rise above all that we've seen in the past and all that still takes place today. He's looking for a people that's a true, genuine bride of Jesus Christ, a people that's got a testimony and a life to back it up 100%. And may I pray that God will take me in his hands, mold me greater, that my life would be that example. Hallelujah. And our leadership of the Holy Spirit would be there. Just as that little old washerwoman got a preacher to come to an old barn back then. And one little boy showed up because why? God had predestinated that to take place the way that it did. He saw it in his mind. He knew that was going to take place. Hallelujah. And may we be ready that whatever God has saw taking place, that we'll be in that place where we can catch what the Holy Spirit wants from each one of us, that we would be moved by the Holy Spirit to do what God wants done in our life. Oh, that He would receive the glory and the honor from it. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a little word. Amen. Pray it'll help each one. Amen. Along life's way. Glory to His name. Let's sing that little chorus. The Great Emancipator. Amen. Oh, singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. He song of the redeemed. Right, that's a lot of good words again tonight. Soaking it all in. And I'll leave this with you after Him bringing what He brought. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I press. Whenever something's pressed against, there's pressure. Amen. The cares of life is a great pressure. But you're going to press toward it. Press through all that to the mark of the prize of the high calling. Do you realize how great of a high calling it is to hear the call of the Holy Spirit in your life? To draw unto Him. To let Him have the complete preeminence of your life. That is such a high calling. When God seen you before was a moon or a star, this is mine, this one's mine, this one's mine. And then put in all this garbage going around us and press toward that high calling, that prize of it. Look at the prize that lays before us. Look at the eternal life that lays before us, friends. Look at that eternal body that lays before us. Look at that eternal time of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. To worship Him throughout eternity. Where there will be no more heartaches, no more sorrows, no more pains in the body. It will all be bliss, beautiful, grand. Tremendous, great, what He has prepared for us. For eyes have not seen, nor either ears have heard. We have not been able to see the things that God so graciously has prepared for us. Man has never seen it. But oh my, there's a great thing prepared for us. Do you love His appearing? Oh my, glory. May we press. So these things our precious brother brought tonight, and the things the Holy Spirit has been pressing upon our hearts, may we press toward it. And don't let anything of this world distract us. Amen. Seems like such simple words and such words often heard. But if we could only accomplish that, to not let anything in this life distract us and the purpose we've been sent here for. Amen. It'll be over one of these days. Oh, we hear it, we hear it, we hear it. But it'll be all over with one of these days, regardless.
what we think about it or what we feel about it, it's going to be over with. Amen. I'm longing for that day. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Yes, Lord, as the great song says, glory, glory, hallelujah. You are the great emancipator. You set us free, Lord. How you've set us free from the bondage of having to be debtors unto the flesh. But Lord, to be those that live by the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, how we appreciate these precious words even tonight. I pray that by the Holy Ghost again that you would place these words down in our heart. Now, Lord, we understand when we leave this place, I'm sure we'll be tested and tried. What lays before us tomorrow? You already know what lays before each and every one of us. You know already, Lord, if we may fail the test. And you know already how we'll overcome or whether we will not overcome. But Lord Jesus, help us to see this dimension of reality. Oh God, that what we see with our eyes is temporal, but there's things that's unseen is eternal. And your word's eternal. Your warnings going forth is eternal because it's the word. But Lord Jesus, what a serious people we ought to be. Sober-minded, as the scripture says. Yes, sober-minded. Don't let us be those of, Lord, that there's millions like it today in these perilous times where they'd be lovers of flesh more than lovers of God, lovers of entertainment. Oh, God, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, all these different things that you warned us would be in this day. But help us, Lord, to be the overcomer, the true overcomer. Help us now as we leave this little place. Lord Jesus, I almost feel like sometimes I want to keep them under my wing and guard them and protect them. But Lord, you're the great Holy Spirit, the great eagle, that Lord will protect your own. May we yield to you and to your protection and let you have your way in our lives. Pray thy will be done now as we leave this little building. Truly not leaving thy presence, but Lord Jesus, leaving from this little building. Only again, Lord, if you should tarry, we'd gather here again at the next appointed time. Thank you again for everything. In your glorious name we pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. I love him. He is so glorious. And it'd been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. It's always so refreshing. Amen. I'd like just to request a little something. Before services, try to keep it down in the vestibule. Sometimes it gets a little too noisy. And people is in here praying and asking God to deal with their heart. And I don't think it's pleasing to the Lord to walk in the vestibule out there and talking so loud. It should be a whisper, you know, because we're getting ready for the Lord to have his way, you know. But sometimes we come in so loud and noisy and carrying on. God ain't pleased with it. So keep it in mind. And my deacons, keep it in mind to watch over it. Amen. And make sure that it's taken care of. I don't mind talking a little bit after service, keep the door closed and so forth, but even before service, just keep it down. Amen. It's way too noisy out there for people getting ready to hear the Word of God. This is a serious thing. Come here and hear the Word of God. Very serious. It's between life and death. Yeah. It's to receive and understand what God wants and requires in this hour. Very serious. So don't even distract, as I said before service. Keep it down to very minimal. Whisper if you need to say something. Okay? Again, before service. All right. May God bless you. I love you. Amen. I love you with all my heart. I'd do anything I possibly could for you. And I I pray for you all the time. But don't forget to pray for me. Amen. I need it too. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.